Chani. I'm at Lottie's, and you're listening to Meet Us at Molly's, and I'm excited about today's show because it's going to rock.
Going to be all sunshine and roses, but I can promise it's going to be a hell of a ride.
Hey, Shyhards, welcome to episode 285 of Meet Us at Molly's. As always, you know, it's usually me and Bryna. It's a little different this week. We usually drop on Fridays, all that good stuff. This has been a week where real life has really gotten in the way. In a big, big way. I said it on last week's episode, but Bryna is out of town and on vacation. I was in a work meeting most of last week, so we had to push recording to the weekend. This is a bit of a shortened episode today, but do not worry. We will be back at full force next week, 100%. So we appreciate your patience. Thank you guys. Again, real life, hectic. Sometimes you can't help it. But here's the good thing about it is that today I am joined by little sister of the podcast, Lauren. Hi, Boo Boo.
Hello.
I always love getting to record with you. We have so much fun.
I know. I love you.
I love you. Oh my gosh. Even though we're on rival teams for March Madness.
Oh, that's true. I was like, should we have a little March Madness update? We're losing.
You guys are losing?
We are. You and me.
Oh, no. Yeah. We are losing.
Our brackets are bad.
I haven't tabbed up Jimmy's bracket yet, but I know he's had a couple little missteps in there. I'll have to take a closer look at it today.
Bryna's killing it.
Yeah, Bryna's crushing it. I am at the I'm the bottom. I am the cellar. I'm holding up the basement level of the bracket challenge. My strategy of picking teams based on cuter mascot backfired terribly. It's not good. Not good. We almost got a little bit of a break on Saturday night because Creighton came about this close. And you can't see my hands, obviously, but Creighton came very, very close to losing to Oregon. And that would have fucked Jimmy's bracket pretty good.
Everyone's bracket, yeah.
Yeah, it would have. It would have. So, but it didn't happen. That's your March Madness update. It's not going great. You and I are bottom
dollars. We're not. Yeah.
Maybe next year we should just jazz it up and you and I should be on a team and Bryna and Jimmy should be on a team.
A little flip-flop.
And then they could just like
kill us.
The people who know about basketball could be a team. And then those of us who are just like, we're just here for fun.
I love to press buttons on a bracket. It's so pretty.
I will trash talk all the time. But the truth is, I know jack about college basketball.
I'm just here for the vibes.
Same. Same. I'm here for the vibes. Oh, goodness. But yes, we always have such a good time when we record together. It's always fun. Also, if I post any video from this, you will see very quickly, Lauren looks gorgeous and super adorable for 9 a.m. her time. It's 2 hours later for me and I look like a sewer rat. So I love it. Okay, so episodes 7. Let's just jump on in. In corporate terms, we have a hard stop today. So again, if we seem like we're going through this quickly, if it's a shortened episode today, please understand, bear with us. Bryna and I can touch on everything else that we missed in this episode more in depth this coming week. And Lauren can send us texts while we do it.
Yes.
Yes. Or FaceTime, because we know you're addicted to FaceTime.
Like chronic FaceTime. It sounds so bad. Anyways, we can't get into it. We don't have time.
Okay, so we actually have a little bit of news today, which is great. The first bit of news, we've been renewed.
Yay!
Yeah, it never gets old. And I think that we as fans are so lucky that we're in a position that when the renewal comes down, we're just like, okay, cool, moving on.
I know, it's true.
We're so lucky.
Truly.
The Law and Orders got renewed, but not all of them.
I know, organized crime didn't.
Yeah, dude, what's going on with organized crime? That's crazy.
I don't know.
Apparently it's on the bubble.
Really?
Yeah, but I
wonder
if it's
contract negotiations related.
I mean, I hope it's that and not ratings, but like, as far as I know, Stabler is so beloved that like, I don't know. That would suck to lose one of the trilogy. Like, I would have such anxiety if Med was on the bubble one year. I'd be like, no, just we need all of them.
I don't know. I don't watch SVU, but do their shows kind of run together? Like, I feel like if one of the Chicago shows got canceled and the other two got renewed, it would be a little weird. But if do they Law and Order? Do they run kind of? They kind of inter. Yeah, they kind of they do intertwine because Elliot and Olivia.
Yeah,
I wonder if they would pop them over on SVU.
I don't know.
I don't speak Law and Order.
And I think the FBI, I think, got an early renewal too.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, crazy. Yeah, so the renewal, fantastic, love it. So seasons 10, 13, and 12 coming our way. Meds at double digits now. They grow up so fast.
Look at them.
I know.
They hit the big 10.
I know. It's crazy. I've got to admit, since we're so high up in seasons now, when I'm outlining or I'm like making graphics or anything, I like momentarily pause after Med because I'm like, okay, 907. And then I'm like, 11, 12, 13, 11. And like, I can't remember which one
like
is
on count which. The title words in the title. You're like,
Oh my God. When I was watching Med this week, Charlie asked me why the title was so long. And I was like, how much time you got?
Like, truly.
Oh goodness. Yes. So renewal. I love it. Congrats to everybody on the shows.
Yay jobs.
I love it. So yes, renewed. Elsewhere in news, looks like Jesse Lee Soffer is returning to direct.
I know.
And it might be the finale.
It's the last episode, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He posted for the first time in, like, eternity the other day. It was just a picture that was, like, back home.
You know.
I know. It's not quite what I mean when I say Jesse come home, but it'll do.
Do you think they'd pop him in to the episode for a hot sec?
Oh, God. Okay. I wouldn't love it. A year ago or two, I would have loved it. I don't want it now. I don't want Jay to show his face in Chicago.
I feel like if it's just one episode, there's too much to cover to just have him appear for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know.
You said this in an episode a while back that if Jay ever comes back, this man needs to be like, what was it? Screaming, crying, throwing up, groveling, just like crawling.
Falling on his knees.
Like, yeah.
I know.
And that's what he needs. I don't like the idea of him returning and Haley going with after Haley has worked so hard in Chicago to move on with her life and move on with her job and still be good at it despite everything that man put her through.
They ruined him.
So badly. I'll never get over it. God. Jesse is back to direct and Brian's also back to direct Med.
I know.
Did you see the picture he posted with Colin the other day?
Yes, it was cute.
Babies. Come back. I miss you.
I know.
Ugh. Yeah, that's about it on the news. Jesse and Brian are behind the camera. We're renewed more seasons. That's great. And yeah, if you guys see any news, just send it to us. You know the drill. So, shall we jump into these episodes?
Let's do it. I was telling Gina before we started recording that I just finished the PD episode this morning. And I was like, what a bright, happy, sunshine-filled way to start my morning.
Yeah. Yep. I did the same thing. I rolled out of bed and I watched it. And I was like, morning.
Good morning
to me. Yeah. Goodness. So, all right. Let's start with Med. Did you think this was the best one of the week?
I enjoyed Med and PD. I really liked Med.
I liked Med too.
I've been enjoying Med this season. I've been a Med fan.
Where have you been, though? It's been like this since season 7, where it's just been like the safe show. It's been fantastic, and it doesn't make us cry. And
it's a safe show, but it's like good. Like, she's popping this season.
She is popping. Okay, so we start this episode. We'll start it off with Archer and Hannah. They work together this week, and first scene, you know how we roll. Sean is 1 year sober. You love to see it.
That was such a cute opening scene.
It was cute. I also want to know where they filmed this, because that place looks fantastic, and that place looks like somewhere we would have a lot of fun.
I know. I don't know.
We gotta, like, stock the filming permits or something, because, yeah, that place looks really cool. Shuffleboard, though? I can't say I've ever seen a bar with shuffleboard.
Mm-mm.
Do you even know what shuffleboard is?
Yes. Girl.
Just checking. It's kind of viewed as like an old people game, but that's cool that they were having fun. It was really, really cute. I will say Crockett being there was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It was absolutely fantastic. But there was a moment where I was like, Ariana, what are you doing here?
They're like, they all hang out.
Yeah, they're they besties. All hang out. But also, if the entire ED was invited and only Crockett came, like, guys, come on. Come on. Yeah, so Crockett's there, and Hannah and Archer and Margot. Hey-o.
Oh, I saw a tweet from someone, and they're like, oh my gosh, everyone's gonna be like, it was, if you squint, this is like a Hannah and Archer date. And I was like, period.
Was that tweet from you?
No. There are people who are Hannah and Archer stands out there.
If you squint, it's like a date.
If you squint. I was like, real.
Oh, that's really funny. That's pretty
I
funny.
Saw that before I watched the episode though. And so I sent it to Bryna and I was like, oh, we're winning tonight.
Oh, that's hilarious. So yeah, so Sean has cupcakes. It's really sweet to see them all come together like this and celebrate. And Sean makes a speech and it's just so sweet. Listen to it.
Speech.
Okay. I actually have a lot of thank yous. I'm grateful for so many things. My dad's health, that the kidney transplant was a success. And now I have something to hold over him every time he's too busy for a Cubs game. Margot, thank you so much for the opportunity to work at your center and help others struggling with addiction. I have such an incredible group of people in my corner. And I figure if I'm anything like you, Dad, I'm moving in the right direction.
Aw. Love you, kid.
Prize in father-son bonding.
That was so sweet. Truly so sweet.
So sweet. I think it is so amazing of both of them that they have been able to move past the issues they had and put them behind them and forge this relationship. I think that's a really beautiful thing.
I know. And we've come so far by thinking that Sean was not going to make it. How long? 2 seasons ago? 3 seasons ago? When was
the
he
Sean
entered?
Archer death trope. Oof.
Yeah.
That was last season, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe. But I'm happy.
Me too.
Deserved. Me too.
And Hannah has really helped Archer open up to be more open to it. Because I feel like without Hannah, Archer would still be closed off and not allow himself that relationship.
Yeah,
with
she
Sean.
Doesn't think that he deserved it. Yeah.
No. It's a good thing. It's a really beautiful thing. So Margo's there. And yeah, Dean being Dean has no idea that she's flirting at all. I laughed very hard when she was saying something about like Cubs games and stuff. And then he was like, it's Chicago. There's plenty to do. Bye.
I was like, does he not? I feel like maybe he did pick up that she was flirting, but he was like, he got nervous.
Is this the correct usage of the word riz if I say he has none in this moment?
Yes.
You're like, but I don't really know.
Riz would be, it'd be if he was like trying to like hit on her and like get her and like put his moves on her and he tried it and then you'd be like, oh, he has no riz. Like it did not work out, but he wasn't really trying.
This is why I ask you permission before I use these Gen Z words. Yeah, so Margot flirting, not paying attention at all. Then we get to Med. Can we please talk about this scene with the pet snake in the ear?
Girl, I'm sorry. If you have a snake in your ear, like it's just going to live there. Like at that point, there's no.
That can't be like surely your body would attack it. And then
I was like, is this snake? I just, all I could think of was like the snake just like chomping at her brain.
it's not even that kills me. What kills me is that I think she just like, it's a pet snake that she was like letting sleep on her pillow.
Yeah, it was her pet. Wasn't it like Rupert was the name or something?
Yes.
Girl. Mm-mm. First of all, also it just felt like, I know Dr. Charles was there, like they were like deep breathing or whatever, but it was like, this scene felt way too calm for what was happening. I was like, there's a snake in this girl's ear. And Archer's just like, yeah.
I think it's funny now, and again, just evidence of the growth. Like back in the day when Archer would be kind of judgy of his patients, we would be like, asshole. And now we're just like, Dean, stop it. Like it's kind of funny. But
No, I'm judgy of this patient. I don't know what.
he was pretty judgy. And just the way that, like, when she started freaking out, he was like, Dan, help, please. Like, make her stop. Do the thing.
Yeah, that was a little, that was wild.
You know that had to be based off like a real life case.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's
It was such a
insane.
baby snake, too.
It was so baby. But also, I can't imagine like leaving it in there would be good. Like you can't hear, and then I'm sure it would cause some sort of an infection. And like, what if it's a venomous snake?
And just the fact that there's literally a snake in your ear.
Moral of the story is don't let a snake sleep on your pillow.
Yep, that's what we learned today.
One Chicago man.
Gotta love it.
So educational.
Truly.
Good Lord. So yeah, Archer is not having it at all. But then he goes out. Once he's like done with the patient, he runs out. And I love how he just kind of like chided Doris and was like, next time there's a reptile in an orifice, please grab like anybody else. Reptile in an orifice. That's a horrible band name. Oh, goodness. So then he has some banter with Hannah, and this is great.
Hey, you want me to pass a note to Ripley from you after recess?
Please. You want to talk? Saw you flirting with Margot last night.
Then you're imagining things.
Okay, come on, Dean. You could do so much worse. She's smart and funny and sweet.
You know, Sean's boss. I don't think he'd appreciate seeing me around the office.
I think he would be happy if you are.
Well, I'll keep that in mind if I'm ever actually looking for a date.
I like how they're roasting each other.
My Pookie Bears.
Funny.
I love them. I'm sorry. I'm gonna ride this train until the wheels fall off.
You can do that. You are more than welcome to do that.
Thanks.
You
Will.
don't need my blessing, but you are more than welcome to do that.
I just love them.
I did enjoy them roasting each other, and the crack about recess was pretty funny when he's like, "Are you gonna go like meet up with him after recess?" That was funny.
Like they're literally gossiping.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Dean Archer
He's so funny.
gossiping?
And then she's like, hello, Margot, flirting. And he's like, I don't want a date.
Men.
So then we go over to Hannah's patient. She has a birth control implant lodged in her heart.
No, thank you.
Like new fear unlocked.
No, literally.
You can always depend on Chicago Med and Chicago Fire to
Has
scare the
that even,
bejesus out of us.
are those, I want to look this up. Are those, is that, how common is that?
Not very, according to Hannah, because remember at the end, she mentions to the
She was
patient,
like, it's not common.
yeah, she's like, you fell victim to improper placement. But like, where did you go have this implant done? Walmart?
It's so scary.
That's so
Oh,
scary. Are
there
you
was
Googling?
one. Yeah, I Googled it. It was based off of a case. A 22-year-old woman is facing the terrifying prospect of open heart surgery after her contraceptive implant migrated from her arm to her heart. And this happened in September 2023.
She's so lucky that it like got there and didn't damage anything.
No, thank you.
No, thank you indeed. No, thank you indeed. Yeah, so the birth control implant got lodged in her heart, and she also got the implant without telling her husband. Like they've been trying for a baby,
Oh.
and that complicates things.
This storyline.
Twists and turns everywhere.
Truly.
Oh boy. Okay, so Archer opts for the safer procedure. Like in invention wise, like intervention wise. So he could do surgery or he could do interventional radiology, and he opts for the safer option. And Hannah just doesn't really understand. She's like, you could do the surgery with your eyes closed. Like, what are you doing? And Archer's like, it's the safer option, which I understand for once. I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you open her up, she's gonna have like a scar and she's gonna have to be in the hospital for extended time. If you go through IR, she's gonna have like minimal anything.
Exactly. Wasn't he saying that there was some like risk of scar tissue too? Because
Yeah,
she had like
because
previous surgery.
she'd had like a major surgery when she was a baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was on Archer's side with this one. I
Yeah, I
got
was
it.
like, yeah.
But also,
And
he's
if they
such.
can do a minimal invasive surgery, why not do it if it's so,
Right.
yeah.
Right. But he's such a grump this episode. So grumpy. And
You
like,
don't get him like I do, Gina.
No, I feel like I get him better now because, again,
No,
anytime
you
he's a
do.
grump, I'm just like, cut the shit. Stop it. Or like he gets angry and I'm like, is little baby Archer mad? Does baby Archer have big feelings? So it doesn't bother me as much, but he's so grumpy. And just the way he's like, if you're so worried about it, why don't you scrub in and babysit? And she's like, well, maybe I will.
The
The You're just sitting there like enemies to lovers forever.
No. Sometimes Archer says things like, it's not nice. But I like how Hannah can give it back to him. She's like, like she does not put up with it.
Yeah. It's a good thing that she does say, maybe I will babysit because, Archer's all in the hallway thinking everything's going smoothly. And it's not because they perforate through her artery and she starts bleeding out. Yeah. How'd that work out for you, Archer? Would you say?
I was like, so he had to go in.
He had to go in and, that awkward moment when all you do is get a birth control implant and you end up losing a lobe of your lung.
Oh my gosh.
Hate when
So
that
sorry.
happens.
I hate when that happens.
Good Lord. But she's fine. She's fine. They got the implant. It's like the teeny tiniest of little rods. That's like, it's crazy. But yes, moral of the story is Archer basically tells this family, like, don't let fear hold you back from having a kid. Oh, and him talking about Sean and being like,
I
we've had our
know.
issues, but he's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I loved it.
Archer showing love.
So sweet.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. So Hannah finally puts it in front of him and is like, do you hear yourself? Like, don't let fear hold you back. And so it ends up, and Archer asks Margot out. It
I have
happens.
thoughts, but
Share
okay.
them.
Well, I have to wait.
What do you have to wait for?
The
Oh, okay. You're not even like giving him the dignity of a name. You're like, F that guy.
No, I'm actually a big fan of Ripley. Now that I found out that Luke Mitchell was an H2O.
Isn't that the
That.
mermaid show where they touch water and on TikTok they
Yes.
make fun of it and everybody goes, Nor,
Poor Cleo.
clear.
Yes. Are you kidding me? That show? Every summer I binge watch it. It's so good. It's so good.
You, me, and Brandon need to do a
It's
patron bonus episode where we watch an episode with him in it.
a rite of passage. He was in all of season three, four.
How long has that show been going?
No, it's off. It's off the air.
How long ago was this show?
I want to say before 2010. It has really good ships. It has one of like the original enemies to lovers ships.
Isn't it a kid show?
Kind of. Oh, it aired in 2006.
Babies,
Babies.
babies.
Yeah, he was in, I think he was in season three here. I sent you. But I was like, where do I know this man? When
Oh my
I was
gosh.
watching him, and I was watching that, and I was like, it was bothering me. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh my gosh. He was in H2O.
Like H2O is probably one of those like Australian rite of passage shows. Like, you know how every American actor has been on Law and Order at some point? Like, I feel like every
Yeah.
Australian actor ends up on H2O or Neighbors.
He has like all these like huge credits, like Blind Spot. And then I'm like, wait, I know him from H2O.
That's funny. We got to see if he was in Neighbors and then track that down because Spencer was in Neighbors too.
I was about to be like, who?
Jesse Spencer.
I know.
Oh my goodness, he looks like he was in a boy band.
Baby.
I want to say that I like had his CD in 2000. That's so funny.
Yeah, we definitely need to watch it. We should watch it this summer. And then and then every time we go in the pool, I'm always like, do you want to play mermaids?
Oh boy, that's a hiatus activity for sure.
So good.
So
Anyways,
funny.
back on it.
But anyway, moving over into Ripley. By the way, if you haven't listened yet, you should check out my interview with him. We chatted last week before
You killed
last.
that.
Thank you. He was really nice to talk to. It was a fun chat. He was cool. He was really, really cool. So yeah, make sure you listen to that. But yeah, so Ripley. He's looking good this episode. Yeah. Okay. So as Ripley's walking in, because you guys know he runs like a freaking marathon to and from work every day, which like, bruh. It's like 6 in the morning. Who's chasing you?
Who's chasing you?
Who's chasing you? Just car. Just drive. It's okay. But yeah. So as he's walking in through the revolving door, the guy in front of him is moving really slow. But like, more about that later. But also, like, you're a doctor. How did you not notice something was up immediately?
I don't know. I mean, like, sometimes people walk slow in front of me and I'm like, oh, and then I just get around them.
It's infuriating. Why doesn't everybody walk at my speed? Drives me nuts. Yeah. So this guy's walking in and Ripley's just like, whatever. I see Hannah. I'm going to dodge this and go talk to her. But it does beg the question. Does he have a specialty?
Mermaids.
Cool. Noted. Anyway, that's okay. That's the answer. But yeah, he sees Hannah, so he just beelines to her anyway. And yeah, he's just like, morning, I ran, but like, I tweaked my hammy this morning, so I only got 3 miles in. Boo, bummer. I know. 3 whole miles at like 6 in the morning. You slacker.
And then the rest, but then he was limping. And I was like, okay, now the rest of the episode I have to watch to make sure he continues limping or else.
And he continues limping?
Because in the big, well, because he was limping. And then the next scene over, he was limping again when he was talking to Dr. Charles. And I was like, is he going to limp this entire episode? And so I had to watch for it.
So you just watched for continuity's sake, not because you cared what happened to Ripley.
I mean, yeah.
So yeah, he sees Hannah talking about the routines. And then she says, she's like, I go to meetings, you run, we all have our things. Okay, so are we implying that Ripley was an addict at some point, or am I reading too much into that?
I don't think so.
I think the point is more that like he sticks
they all
to
have
his
their
routine.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
And they can't like break it.
No, no. Okay, so now we go back to the guy in the door. Again, Ripley was just like, ooh, Hannah, screw you, little guy.
My little crush. My little crush.
Yeah, so security forces him out of the door and he has huge panic attack. And so we find out this guy has severe OCD. Severe.
This guy did a good job. He can act.
He was so good.
He was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was really,
really
good.
Really good. So this guy has severe OCD and it basically comes in the form of even numbers and symmetry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not only does this guy act the hell out of this in this episode, this patient is, he's incredible acting wise, but thank God we have Dr. Charles on this episode too, because he explains OCD in a very clear, understandable way. And he kind of shines light on it. Cause I feel like we all went in with a bit of an understanding of what obsessive compulsive disorder is, but some of the aspects of it that Dr. Charles explained were things I had never learned before. Had you?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no.
It was interesting. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm learning.
Yeah.
Cool. So severe OCD to the point that he's like in the room and he needs Dr. Charles and Dr. Ripley to stand on either side of him. For symmetry, like symmetry's sake. So then we find out that was not just a panic attack. He had a heart attack when they pulled him out of the door.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You just highlighted 2-for-1 special in the outline.
Yeah. Why did you? Girl.
What? I wasn't really going for any sort of pun. I just kind of. It was a double whammy.
He's having a whammy.
Horrible, no good, very bad day.
He was not out. He was not having a good day.
Not a good day at all. Yeah. It was a BOGO. Get one panic attack, get a heart attack free.
Ugh. So I just bad. Like, yeah.
And he's really young. Like, he's 32 and it's crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah, he has a heart attack and Ripley and Dr. Charles are like, okay, like we're going to fix this. We've got to get in there. But, you know, we need to do X, Y, Z. And it involves not having symmetry. And I feel like the twist that we really shouldn't have been surprised about, but still were, was when the patient basically says, he's like, well, I have to have another heart attack.
Yeah.
Got to make it even. I was surprised, but I feel like I shouldn't have been surprised. What did you think?
Yeah, I was like, well.
I just
can't like break. When he was like, I need to have another heart attack. I was like, you can't just like wish a heart attack upon yourself. So I was like, oh, okay. Like I didn't like his mental, like. I was like, okay, Dr. Charles.
But again, like you said, this actor did a fantastic job because never once in this entire episode did I feel like, oh my God, he's just like, he's so far gone. Like the word I hate to use, but like, I was going to say like, he's crazy. I never once felt that way. Every single thing that this guy did because of his OCD, I felt bad for him because you could tell that it was causing him so much pain.
You felt it. Like you understood, like you, yeah. Yeah. He did such a good job.
He really did. Cause I mean, he knows he's suffering. You can tell. And just the way he's talking to them, the way he's communicating, he knows that he's suffering, but he can't help it. He can't just break the pattern.
Yeah.
He did a great job. A really, really great job.
He's really good.
Yeah. And I like how Dr. Charles kind of explained it because Ripley wants to go straight to a court order. Ripley wants to just be like, look, like we need to help this guy. We got to make sure he doesn't have another heart attack. Let's just compel a judge to override him. And Dr. Charles is just very Dr. Charles and just says, look, the reason why you can't do that is because you will screw up his entire sense of security and control. Mm-hmm. You run the risk of not healing him ever at all.
Yep.
It's a really good way to explain it. But also I think, and it's risky on Dr. Charles's part too, right? Because if they take the time, they run the risk of him getting worse. But if they don't take the time, then he'll get better, but he may never heal in the long term. It's a fascinating case.
Yeah.
Really fascinating. But then Dr. Charles does end up getting to the root cause of the OCD, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to go into a field that involves children. What was your take on this?
I felt for the guy. Like, you want to, like, you want to make it, you want to help, like, I don't know. Mine's, like, the field that I'm going into, basically, well, I mean, we basically help families and patients cope with hospitalization. And so I feel like in this case, it would be, yeah, no, I just wanted to help him.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. You go.
Well, he was already exhibiting the signs of OCD as a child. And then when his father died, that only further like reinforced the compulsion.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. So heartbreaking. And the poor mom, I imagine she probably did the best she could, but she probably didn't know what she was dealing with.
I wonder if he like had a chance to grieve or if he was still his dad or if he's still dealing with that.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
I mean, again, not a psychiatrist, but I imagine that he probably used his compulsions to like hide from the grief and hide from the feelings.
Yeah. Or he just didn't know how to express them.
Really heartbreaking case. Outlet.
Yeah.
So they take him upstairs. They're like, okay, we're going to approach this a little differently. You're going to go upstairs. You're going to meet Kai, who's doing the surgery. And then basically what they did was they set up this little waiting area for him with like a board that kind of kept track of the patients and who was in surgery and who was in recovery and all that. And Ripley and Dr. Charles stayed on either side of him. They kept the symmetry. And right when the surgery was done, Dr. Charles stood in the middle and he disrupted the symmetry and just kind of showed him like, hey, look, your behavior has no bearing on the outcome. And like while he was standing there was when the board switched over from her being in surgery to being in recovery. And so he ended up agreeing.
You want to hear my one little about this?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we find out early in his storyline that his mom, that he, the reason why he was coming into the hospital is because his mom was having gallbladder removal surgery. And they pulled her, they ended up pushing her surgery back and pulled her so she could come and see him. And she was already up in pre-op. And I have also had my gallbladder removed. And previous to getting it removed, I was in the worst pain, like, of my entire life. Like, nothing compares. Like, I couldn't stand. I couldn't move. I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe. And I was, like, they were, like, pumping me with morphine. So the fact that this lady was fully functional before getting it removed, like walking, talking, fine. I was like, but who knows?
Moms are superheroes.
Period. I was like, okay, she's built different.
I did notice that when she rescheduled it to the afternoon. I was like, so is this poor woman just not going to eat anything all day?
I'm like, how is she functioning? Like, I can't even begin to tell you the pain. The pain. So I was like, how is she functioning?
Well, yours was like actively attacking you, right?
But yeah, but you're not just getting your gallbladder out for fun. Hers was attacking her too.
Yeah.
The gallstones were up in there. They were like,
oh goodness. But yes,
I don't know. Anyways.
Well, I was gonna say, like, sometimes people like pre-schedule it to have it out if they're having stomach problems.
That's true. So maybe she was having a good day.
I mean,
of
I'm glad
stomach problems.
I'm glad she was, because her son sure as hell wasn't.
Oh, I know.
Oh man. So yeah, she does agree to he does agree to the stent, which is great. And so at the end of the episode, Ripley is still planning to run like 8 miles home. My dude, you've been limping the whole episode.
I have nothing to say on that. He's wildin',
yeah. So yeah, he realizes that he probably shouldn't run on his bad leg and that he's gonna like limp the whole way home, meaning he's probably not gonna get home until like the sun rises the next morning.
Men
indeed. Yep. So he meets up with Hannah and he goes back to her place for some air quotes epic herbal tea. We have a new euphemism for banging.
Bye. Did
Linstead,
you see this?
Linstead had Scrabble and now these two have epic herbal tea.
Epic herbal tea. Did you see this photo? I guess it was in the promo.
Oh, I saw the photo circulating around the internet and then I went and looked at the promo and it's not in there.
I think it was one of the promos that they show later on, like after the original ones air, like the extended versions.
I am ready for their first kiss. I know you're not, but I am.
Boo. Tomato, tomato. Okay, wait. Now I can say my thing.
Yes.
So the way that they've, first of all, this was more, let me collect my thoughts. I feel like there's no build up with Hannah and Ripley and Archer and, what's her name?
Margo.
There's no build up. It just feels like it's kind of like a placeholder. They're going to realize that they actually have feelings for each other, Hannah and Archer. I just don't see it. There's, I don't know. Definitely on the Archer and Margo front, I don't know. And Ripley and Hannah feel too fast. And maybe that's just because I like slow burns, but they feel very fast and not, there's no depth.
If you think about it, though, I think right now for where they are in their life, it makes sense because Hannah's not looking for anything serious. And Ripley just got back to Chicago and he's probably kind of lonely, right? Because the friends he had, he can't really have anymore.
That's true.
So if they're both looking for something casual and just, you know, companionship, I'm talking about it now, like getting a dog, which I don't mean to be, then I think they're good for a fling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down for a fling. As long as it flings.
As long as it flings.
And then that's it. I don't know. I'm just not, and I know there's like 3.5 people on this Hannah and Archer train with me, but I'm not giving up hope.
No, and nor should you.
I just feel, I don't know. But I mean, if they want to get it on, all for them.
Let this be another lesson that disagreeing is okay. It's okay. Epic herbal tea. Yeah, so we know what the first scene of 908 will be.
Oh yeah.
Morning, it's either after. Gonna be
morning after, it's gonna be them and men and him being like, I had fun last night. And they're at the coffee cart.
I love how like nobody actually like orders proper coffee at the coffee cart. They just like grab fruit and like they're a magic
throw money at them.
In front of them, and then yeah, they throw money and just walk away. That barista at Med probably knows so much tea.
Oh, I'd kill for that job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who we should have on the pod is the barista at Med.
Yes.
So tell us, what did you hear this week? Yeah.
Give us the inside.
Give us
411.
Yes. Yes. So then last up, we've got Crockett. It took everything in me this week not to call him Crockpot because I knew I was recording with you this week.
Crockpot.
Love it. I love it. He's so dreamy this episode.
Oh, dreamy.
So dreamy.
I was sitting there. I was like watching it and I was like, Crockett.
Oh, I know. Push.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Just the way he was with the patient and just like the calm voice. I'm such a sucker for any doctor that has a calm voice on Chicago Med.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead. Wait.
No, I was saying like, he would make me feel safe. Like he just has that demeanor. Like
he dreamy. Yeah.
He dreamy.
Okay. So his patient just like bonked her head. That's pretty much it. But she's also a former patient of Dr. Washington's. Remember Dr. Washington? That's Dennis. That's the guy Goodwin is dating. So he comes to say hi because she was like a childhood patient of his. They go way back, like 20 years or something. She's been cancer free. So Crockett's just like, okay, we're going to run a CT just to be safe because you've been getting headaches. We just want to make sure it is the dollar margaritas and like, you know, nothing else. Well, on the CT, it shows that her cancer is back. So there's a tumor on her carotid artery, which is like, that's bad. I watch enough medical shows to know that's bad.
That's bad.
Like your carotid artery is what supplies your blood with brain. Brain with blood.
Yep.
Just gonna chug the rest of this coffee. I might need a second cup, we'll see. But yeah, so it's like pressing on that artery, and so Crockett's like, I can totally grab it with surgery, like that's fine, we can take it one-stop shop, like we'll be done, that's awesome. Little side note here, but when he's giving her this news, you know, she's of course she's upset. That's like earth-shattering news that her cancer's back after 20 years. If Crockett patted me on the shoulder and very softly was like, you hang in there for me, okay? I'm pretty sure I would do anything that man asked.
Yeah. Hands down.
Like, if he said that to me and then was like, I need you to jump off a cliff, I would walk outside and just, like, find the nearest cliff and just not even question it.
He, like, there was something in the air, in Crockett's air that day. He just had, like, the, like, puppy dog eyes, like, everything.
The charm was on.
And I love Crockett, but, like, I don't love Crockett, but in this episode, I was like, okay, Crockett.
Hello. Okay, Crockett. Hi. Okay.
Hey, Crockett.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he's just like, I can get it with surgery. We're good. But Dr. Washington pops in and he convinces the patient to go with radiation. Again, childhood patient. She really values his opinion, all of that. So Crockett immediately is like, well, I'm going upstairs. Okay, tattletale. Like, what good do you think that's gonna get you? I love how he threatens it and is like, well, I have to go upstairs now. Ooh. Ooh. I'm scared. Yeah, and Goodwin as the tiebreaker just doesn't, it backfires terribly here. Just
Periganglioma, headaches, syncope. I mean, Hillary's already symptomatic.
But as I've explained, in her case, starting with surgery is not the answer.
If I understand correctly, your concern is for the integrity of the artery.
Remove the tumor and you run the risk of taking her entire carotid out with it. She'll bleed out on the table.
And if you radiate first, it would scar and distort the anatomy, making surgery even more difficult.
Actually, radiation would save you from a difficult operation. If I shrink the mass, you can likely avoid a carotid bypass.
Please, Ms. Goodwin, Dr. Washington and I can do this all day.
Surgery versus radiation. I can't even begin to count the number of times I've heard this debate, and there's never a clear-cut answer. But in this case, given Dr. Washington's extensive knowledge of the patient and her medical history, he's in a better position to make this call. You can move forward with radiation.
Thank you, Sharon.
The minute Dr. Washington left that room, I knew exactly what was coming. I was like, don't do it. don't just whatever you think you're about to say, just shut up.
I know.
And then he did it.
This isn't right.
Dr. Marcel, you brought me in for arbitration, and that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And your relationship with him didn't play a role?
Excuse me?
Miss Goodwin,
that man is so lucky that he only escaped with the finger of death. That picture was in the promos too, and I knew the minute I saw that finger, I was like, oh, Crockett in trouble. I know that finger. You done fucked up.
He opened his mouth.
Oh man, and like the silent treatment and the finger, like that would shatter me. I'd be like, oh my God, I just
oh, I'd be sobbing. I'd literally be sobbing.
Yeah.
Like in the stairwell, like hyperventilating.
Yeah. I'd be like going downstairs to all my colleagues and be like, I made Goodwin mad, and all she did, she didn't say anything, and she just wagged her finger. Am I in so much trouble? Like, am I gonna get fired? I would be terrified.
Oh yeah.
The finger of death. Crockett.
I understand, like, he's like, I can just get it with surgery, like, super quick. Like, I'm sure, yeah.
No, I totally understand that. And I have faith in him, too. But throwing a relationship in Goodwin's face
is bad.
So bad.
Wee, wee, wee.
Bad. Red flag. Oh, goodness. So then her condition changes. And again, in this moment, Crockett's just being all dreamy. Because, like, again, this tumor is pressing on the artery that provides blood to her brain. I had to like think about phrasing that.
Brain to blood.
So she passes out and like Crockett catches her and puts her back in bed. And then he's like cupping her face and is like, are you okay? Are you good? He's so dreamy.
Oh, stop it, Crockett.
Stop it. I know. But that does indicate that there's been a change in her condition. So Goodwin convinces Dr. Washington to give his blessing for the surgery. And Dr. Washington's a grown-up, unlike Crockett, and he's just like, okay, like, I understand, here's why I was kind of holding on to that and wanting to do radiation, but his whole story about how when he met this patient, like, she was a child, he was burned out because he was losing so many kids to cancer, and she gave him hope, just feelings, emotions.
You know.
But the surgery goes perfectly. Because Crockett.
Crockpot.
Yeah. I feel like if Connor had pulled this and been like, I can get it with surgery, I'd be like, okay, God, calm down. Like, stop it. You're being stupid. But Crockett says that and I'm like, yeah, he's totally got it.
Got it.
He's got it. I don't worry. But he does apologize to Goodwin, thankfully. And Goodwin's just like, she's cool with it. You know, but she's still like, she accepts it, but she doesn't like outwardly accept it. She's just like, see you tomorrow morning. As in like, I forgive you, but yeah, you fucked up.
Yep.
Don't do it again, Crockett.
Oh, Crockett.
Well, I mean, not like there's going to be any consequence. Will should have been fired 59 times, and he still had a job to it all.
Yeah.
I wonder, was Goodwin even ever going to fire him for the OR 2.0 thing?
I don't think so. But she loved Will.
I loved Will. I miss him. Bad.
I know you do.
I've been trying to be like really good about it, but like,
I know you do.
It's like
our Will 2.0 is in next week's episode.
She is back in next week's episode. Yeah, there was no Zola and no Maggie this week.
There was no Maggie.
No.
No.
I don't like it. I don't like the whole episode off thing, but we have to deal with it. Okay, that's all of Med. This was a good episode. I enjoyed
it.
Med was really good. The Ripley case was absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
It was really good. Med, like you said, Med's been popping. I enjoyed it. Okay, so now we move into Fire. Again, sorry if I'm like rushing through this. We have a hard stop, corporate lingo, but Fire. This was not a good episode.
No. It wasn't.
There was one good moment, and that was it.
Fire was tough to get through this week.
It wasn't good. It was very stale.
I don't know what they need. Because I feel like they need fresh storylines. They need characters that I'm not like that they're not making people hate within the first 30 seconds. Like, I don't know what the show needs. Yeah, she's stale.
We were very much going through the motions on this episode.
Yeah.
Very much.
Because there's like, it's hard because there's like, they're good points. They're really good moments. And you're like, yes, this will build a character up. Yes, this will build storylines. And then they take it in the same direction they always take it in. And it's so frustrating. Anyways.
Okay, so we'll start off with Ritter. Ritter, who like never has anything. I love that he had stuff this week. More of that, please.
Yes, go off writer storyline.
Ritter is dating somebody new.
I love love.
I love love, and I love Happy Ritter. I love it.
He was so giddy. It was so cute.
It was so cute. This opening scene with Violet is so funny because Violet is like the gold standard for friends in this moment. Because she goes from like really happy to for him and then like really serious. And she's like, this is great. I want to meet him. Like now. Violet's my spirit animal. I love her so much.
I love her too.
But yeah, she is the gold standard for friends. She's excited, but she's also on guard. And he's kind of cagey with it. He's just like, it's new, but I stayed over last night. And she's like, I cannot believe you didn't tell me, especially after I told you about Carver. And he's just like, that's still happening. Like, I know. So funny. So after the call, shit goes down. We'll talk about the call in a little bit. But after the call, things go down with the cops and the firefighters and Stella and Cruz and everybody. They're just kind of trashing cops. And judging by Ritter's face, I'm guessing the new boo is a cop.
He is a cop.
Which he is. He is a cop.
He is.
Yeah. So he basically, Ritter pulls the whole like, I left my wallet behind move. And he meets the guy outside the firehouse later on, and I love him already. I don't know anything about him, but I love him already.
I know.
Stick around. Just don't break his heart.
Or
We
we'll kill
like
you.
you.
Just
Or we'll
kidding.
kill you. Yeah.
We won't. We will wish really unfortunate, small little things to your day, like stubbing your toe or burning your food in the oven.
This is one Chicago. I mean, it's a lot easier to arrange than most places.
I am not committing a felony.
Yes, we will wish you minor inconveniences, and maybe if you fuck up bad enough, we'll wish a movie theater to fall on your head. Yep. One Chicago problems. Oh, goodness. So I think at the end of the interaction, Ritter's about to like kiss him goodnight, and then Chippy comes out. Chippy's the guy who's floating this week
Chippy.
for Gibson. Where the hell is Gibson? What? I don't know. So yeah, he's just basically like, hey, bye, see you later. I do not love Chippy immediately asking Ritter if that's his boyfriend. Like, tread lightly. That's personal. Back up just for a second. Whatever. But they have a moment later on at Molly's where Chippy's basically talking to Ritter about being gay, and Ritter's talking to Chippy about dating a cop. It is pretty funny. But I love when Ritter stops him and is like, Chippy, I'm not secretly gay. I'm very much out. But also, I mean, and he makes the distinction about Platt and Mouch, and he's like, they're OGs. Like, they get a pass, they're fine. But when did the firefighters and the cops start hating each other on the show?
Like that's a thing. Like that's just I've heard that before. Where it's like they don't date each other.
I think it's a real life thing, but it's never been a thing in OC.
I don't
I mean, we never would have gotten like some of the great hookups. We never would have gotten Dawson and Jay. We never would have gotten Lindsay and Severide. Roman and Brett would not have had that crazy odd one night fling.
Stop. I totally forget about that.
Everybody forgets about them.
It's so crazy. It's so
Everybody
crazy. That's
forgets.
so crazy, actually. Aw.
I hope up in Portland, like Sylvie and Matt get drunk on a wine night one night and are like laughing about it. And then Sylvie's like hysterically laughing while wine drunk and is like, remember that time I hooked up with
Ew. Imagine hooking up with Roman.
Imagine what?
Hooking up with Roman. What?
I'd rather not. I'd
Ew.
rather not. No. No.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah. So I don't know when that became a thing, because we wouldn't have gotten a lot of like epic early hookups that we got.
Maybe they're just not beefing with, like, our OC people aren't beefing with each other.
But... No, because like they're wholesome and nice, and that's why we like watching them every week, is because they don't arbitrarily hate people for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Ritter's dating somebody new, and it's a cop.
And everyone at 51 is going to be like, go off, Ritter. Like, we don't, they're not going to say anything. No, they're one's going to care. An issue. No one's going to have an issue.
No. No. But also, if he wants to go work for intelligence, I'm totally game, because, like, we really need new blood over there.
It's true. But also, I get it, too. Like, when you're dating someone new, it's, like, a little uncomfy when you're, like, with your people, and you're like, I don't, it's kind of new, and I don't really want to explain it to you, and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to explain it to you. Yeah. And he's a cop, so I get Ritter. It's a little uncomfy.
A little uncomfy. Yep. So then we go over to Severide, and this started out well, and then I was like, how the fuck did this end? I'm like, kind of confused.
Yeah. I didn't really, I'm going to be honest, didn't really follow the story.
So what happens here, on a call, they end up having to bust through the ceiling, and it starts raining cash.
I want that to happen to me.
I know, right? It just starts raining down cash. And it's not like, the cash wasn't in the ceiling. It was in the floorboards of the upstairs bedroom. I think that's kind of important, but they get all the cash down, everything. They put it in the fire truck to hold on for it, and or hold on to it. And Sev giving the PD guys trash, or he's just giving them so much shit. It's pretty funny, honestly. Because, yeah, the guys are like, the two detectives are giving him so much attitude. And Sev's like, you guys took forever to get here. So, like, this is not our fault.
Yeah.
And I love when the guy's like, oh, so some of the cash burnt. And Sev just looks at him and is like, yeah, that can happen in fires. Sometimes being petty is just like a beautiful thing.
It's been, how many seasons has the show been on? 13, 12?
12.
12? It's been 12 seasons, and I'm still like, why are there other police people besides just the four that exist in intelligence?
What do you mean there's a whole CPD outside of that?
I'm like, wait, it's not just four of them? Running Chicago?
It's just that one unit. They're that good that they're the one unit that polices all of Chicago.
I'm like, you're not. Are you really?
Are you though? That's funny. But yeah, these detectives have the balls to just throw the accusation at Bowden and Sev to be like, oh, well, you know, you probably still have some of the money. Do you know who you are talking to? Do you know who these people are? Why are you doing that?
They don't.
So the girl who like lives in the house, she stops by 51 and she finds Kelly, and it's drug money.
Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought that's drug money?
What, you don't keep thousands and thousands of dollars in your floorboards?
No. I keep it in my walls. Just kidding.
You pay it to your mortgage company because you live in California.
Literally.
But I mean, she goes to Kelly, and Kelly does not hesitate to help, which, like, that's the one thing about Kelly that, like, no matter how many times you do it, you always love to see it.
Yeah. He was fathering this episode.
He was fathering this episode. So, he picks her up, narrowly avoids a drive-by shooting. Just separate things.
I can't.
I know. I thought for sure, like, in the middle of this episode when that happened, I was like, oh, no, he's going to find Maya, like, splayed out on the ground. Like, oh, this is so bad. But she was fine.
She was fine.
Yep. So later she tells him, she's like, no, there was more money in the upstairs bathroom. Like, there was more money up there. And Seb goes to check it out, but the money's gone. So what does Kelly do? He goes and throws it right back in the cops' faces. I love a petty queen. I love it.
Kelly.
It's funny. So then he goes to talk to the grandmother in the hospital. And this is where things get weird. Because he gets the idea that she knows about the money. And then, like, she definitely knows about the money. And then he goes and apologizes to the cops, saying that it was paper money. So did the grandmother know about the money and switch it out with paper money? And that's why it caught fire and burned?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I'm unclear.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm unclear. But he goes and apologizes to the cops. The family disappeared, and as Kelly's leaving, he's like smiling. So I guess? Question
Yeah.
mark? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, no idea what happened there. But I guess we solved the problem. And I do love when Kelly, gets all wholesome and fathers and is, helping out. And
Yeah.
that's just Kelly.
Doing Kelly things.
Doing Kelly things. Yep. Doing Kelly things. Then we have Violet. Messing with our queen is not cool. Leave her alone.
This is what I'm talking about. I can't.
What?
Like, we get a great, amazing, beautiful thing, Violet getting promoted. Just give her a partner. That's normal. That we can start to like. None of this drama. It's so overdone. And it makes me so irritated. Like, I was watching the episode and I was like, this is so irritating that they're writing this. Like, I can't. It's just so irritating.
This is the thing, though, is that this, as annoying as this is, that she's got a partner who sucks, this is real life.
No, I
Especially the
know.
situation where she's got a male partner who's questioning her every move. It happens all the time, and that sucks, but it's reality.
But then they're using it and being like, they're trying to take down 51.
Again, they're always trying to take down 51.
That's what I'm saying. Literally. Anything else?
Is CFD, like in general, just not, is CFD outside of 51 like a toxic work environment? Why is everybody always coming after 51 for being like the wholesome house?
I because we're watching a soap opera.
I mean, yes. Yes.
But you can create drama in other ways. And I feel like
Yeah.
we've had this storyline 30 bajillion million times. Have we not?
No, we totally have. Like, ever since season two, once a year, somebody's always trying to take down 51.
And it's always starting on Ambo.
Ah, that's
Major,
accurate.
they all, yeah. It's no. I just, and the way that Fire is now, just like PD needs fresh blood, I feel like Fire needs fresh blood. And I know they had Carver, but I feel like this is a great time to bring someone on Ambo. That's normal.
I'm sure we'll get there, but
I know,
I
but we just have
don't
to watch this stale storyline. Anyways, that's my beef.
know. I mean, the good news here is that Violet is now PIC. Our girl got promoted.
Period. Deserved.
Love
So
to see
deserved.
it.
So
Love to see it.
deserved.
She's such a badass. I love her so much. I love the moment when she's walking out and Carver's like, "What'd you do?" And she's like, "Oh, you mean besides get promoted? Go off, queen."
I love her.
Yes. Yes. You flaunt that promotion. You earned it.
So good.
That's our girl. That's our girl. So she meets with Bowden and she's like, "Look, Chief Robinson has it out for me." And he's like, "I don't know if that's true." But he just reminds her, he's like, "You are the PIC. You call the shots on 61." Yes, she does.
Exactly. I think we should all follow Violet.
Yep.
Anything that she says.
Anything she says. Even if we like don't know what it means, if she's talking paramedic to us, she'd be like, "Okay, cool. I will absolutely place that IV. I've never done one before, but whatever you say, Violet."
You take the IV and you poke and you use Buzzy.
She's talking child life specialist to me, and I have no idea. I don't speak that language.
I know you will after hearing me.
No joke though, on like my TikTok now and stuff, just because like we're always talking on FaceTime and things. Like, I get child life specialist content on my
You
TikTok.
really?
Yes, all the time. People are like, "Here's a day in my life with a child life specialist." And I'm like, "I haven't talked to Lauren in 2 days. Why is this coming up?"
That's so funny.
It's so funny.
And such an unheard of specialty too.
It's completely commonplace to me now. Like, you'll beg the question sometimes and be like, "Why don't they have one on med?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why don't they have one on med?"
They would be such a good character on med. I'm sorry. On any medical show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So good. And you could, it would totally allow you to have more storylines. different storylines. Mm-hmm. And they have emergency department child life specialists too.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on this.
They are such a crucial part of the healthcare team. Anyways.
So Violet's new partner, his name's Lennox. Fuck him already. I hate him. Because he does what every man has to do on the first call and questions her.
I can't.
Have men ever tried shutting up?
I can't. Things like this make me so aggravated because... No. Like, if I'm a brand new person on an... Let's say I'm brand new on an AMBO, and that's my superior. I'm literally going to be doing everything to make her like me. And obviously, I'm going to follow her orders. Like, who are these people?
I know. I know. And, like time and people? Place, bruh.
No. It's
that's
just... I can't.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
No, I just can't. This storyline, like, is so irritating. I can't.
This woman's life is on the line, and you're literally trying to debate, like, oh, or we could do it this way. Or we could do it the way I said in the first place.
Yeah.
For Violet to say, like, this, and then him come out with, like, no. If she wanted that, she would have said she wanted that.
And I know I've just said it 30 million times previous to this, but, and I get your point where it's, like, this happens in real life, but God, it is so annoying.
Oh, it's beyond annoying.
For the same, but it's, like, this is the same storyline we've gotten before. Like, I can't even express to you. I was watching this and I was like, I'm so annoyed.
Yeah.
And I understand that you need drama for your show. I'm going to sound like a broken fucking record here. I understand that you need drama for your show. I get it. I get that I'm watching a drama. I get that not everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. I get that as a soap opera. I get that there's all that. But I don't know. I just feel like in this one scenario, you could have just introduced a new character and given her a good partner from the jump, because we've quite literally had this story so many times.
I get it. I mean, I understand, but it also helps them set up the whole storyline about Robinson and wherever that's going to go. But I know I'm with you on that. This did not bug me as much as the Mouch story did. The Mouch story, I was like, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so he questions her. She seems to nip it in the bud at Med. She's like, listen, motherfucker, like, don't do that again. That's not how we roll here. And then he's like, oh, my PIC was cool with input. Well, there's no time for input on these calls.
I really don't want to hear you speak, so.
Yeah, right? That too. But it's way too early in the episode for that to be true. So she goes to see Stella for a pep talk. And this, in my opinion, is like the one good moment of this episode.
Lennox questioned an order I gave him on a call. Twice.
Wow. So starting off with a bang.
Yeah. And then he told me that his old PIC, Danny, was cool with that. There's no way, right?
I'm gonna guess that Lennox didn't have as much of a problem taking orders from his old PIC.
Because he was a guy.
Partly, yeah.
I am really hoping it's not that, but he gave me some serious attitude on that call. Mm-hmm. What's your approach with managing male egos?
It can be tricky. Right after I made lieutenant, we got a call on a 4-alarm building fire over on Racine. We were the first to arrive, so that made me incident commander. But when the next unit arrived, the lieutenant decided he was running the show. He talked right over me. And the worst part is, I let him. So after shift, I remember Kelly, he was out, and I just stood at the kitchen counter, cursing, drinking tequila, feeling sorry for myself. But I woke up the next morning with the realization that this is on me, and I will never let that happen again.
How bad was that hangover?
Next level.
You gotta show no insecurity. Do not let yourself get intimidated. And ditch the word sorry. That was a big one for me. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you just bring that violent vibe full force.
That violent vibe?
Full force.
Yeah. You think I can do that?
This scene to me is important for a few reasons. Okay, number one is that any woman in your life is going to have a story like this, okay? Every single woman that you know has a story, okay? We just don't talk about it out in the open. We talk about it with our fellow female friends because we've all been there. So for this kind of conversation to be out in the open like this in the mainstream is important, okay? Every woman you know has a story like this, I promise you. Also, I feel like this is her like America Ferrera and Barbie moment when she's like giving the speech about how hard it is to be a woman. When Stella basically is like, you have to basically show no sense of insecurity, you know, all this other stuff, and ditch the word sorry. That's big. That's big. I kind of want to like take that quote and like pin it up over my work computer just to like remind myself. Because again, some of you listening are probably just like, that's stupid. This doesn't always happen. No, I promise you, in corporate America, all the damn time.
Yeah.
It's an important conversation to be putting on TV. That's my point.
Yeah. And they did a great job.
Yes. And this is why it's important to have women in your writers' rooms and women as your showrunners, because now you're getting the female perspective. Exactly. And this is what it is, men. Any male listeners we have, or even female listeners now, they're going to be like, Gina hates men again. I don't hate men. I hate being interrupted by men. But yes, that is that's a good important moment of like Stella, you know, giving advice on like, hey, this is how you be in charge. This is what you do. And ladies out there, take that advice to heart and ditch the word sorry. Just get it out of your vocabulary. It's something I still work on to this day. But don't be sorry for existing.
Nope.
No, I'm ranting. Please stop me. Okay. So on the second call, which involves a spider down somebody's throat, what the hell is with these people in Chicago this week getting like reptiles and bugs stuck inside of them?
I don't know what these people are on.
Scary. So Homeboy loudly exclaims that she's the new PIC, just puts it on out there so that the patient's wife freaks out some more and is like, do you know what you're doing? Dude. So then she calls him out on that too. And like a very mature man who's secure in his masculinity, he goes and has a tantrum in the bathroom to Carver. And he's like, I hate it here. She's so mean. And it wasn't nice. And I don't like her. And Carver's just kind of like, bruh, like A, we're dating. He doesn't say that, but like, you know, and B, you're so lucky to be riding with her, which like, yeah. I want to be best friends with Violet. I want to like have her over for happy hour. And like,
I love Violet.
I love her so much. Like me, you, Bryna, and Violet would have so much fun together.
We would.
It would be chaotic and we'd have a blast and it would be amazing.
It's true.
So not a fan of people being mean to Violet. No. At the end of the episode, we find out that a complaint has been filed with Chief Robinson's office calling Violet disrespectful and aggressive. Here we go with the double standard again, that when a man is assertive, it's fine. But when a woman's doing it, she's mean and scary.
Well, you already know how I feel about the storyline. I cannot.
I know. Because genuinely cannot. Why is Robinson coming for 51? Is she just bored? I know. It's a $1 million question.
Bro, I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going. And like, what is her motive? Why is she wanting to take people down? Why is she so mean? Like, I don't know. Can you hear Charlie talking to Biscuit? Is that why you just made that face?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those listeners out there, we have a new puppy at home and she's
my niece.
She's insanely cute. And that was my husband just talking to her because she's just insanely cute. You can't not baby talk her.
She's so baby.
She is so baby. Yeah. So again, I mean, I had less of a problem with this storyline. I had more of a problem with the Mouch one because it was just dumb. It was just dumb. Just not a fan. So last up, we've got the Mouch part. And basically the gist of this is that Truck 81 gets a parking ticket for being in the fire lane. Why? I know. So they get the parking ticket, and like Mouch goes on this like boomer rant to Herman about how like they're privatizing parking meters and the city has to get their due, and I'm gonna fight this because everything's going downhill. I can't with that in the year 2024. I can't. Like, yeah, I just can't. But yeah, he's like, I'm gonna fight it. And Herman's like, yeah, you do that, just kind of egging him on. So Mouch pulls a copy of the Chicago Municipal Code and like basically finds the code provision that says, you know, if you're going to an emergency, you can park in the fire lane. If you're returning from an emergency, you can't. And that's why they got the ticket. And so Cruz and Stella and Carver, they're all like, yeah, you were getting groceries. Like most firefighters don't do that on the way to a call. And Mouch is just like, well, all that matters is it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you can prove. Hi, the only people who say that are TV lawyers. Real lawyers don't say that. No, no. So Mouch's appeal gets rejected. He goes to like the office to get it sorted. And the woman just tears it up. And that's it. Okay.
I have thoughts. One, right when it happened, my first thing I would have done is called up Trudy.
Right.
And been like, and she would have been able, I'm sure she would have been able to do something.
With like a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and two, I don't know. Part of me, I'm like, where else are they supposed to park the fire truck?
I know. That too. You can't, like, you
like,
can't
let me just pull it up lot. In a parking spot real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me parallel park real quick.
I'm wondering if this is going to come back to bite him later. And like, we're going to find out that woman had like no authority to tear up the ticket or something.
I don't even know. Who even was that lady?
I don't know. I don't know.
Can you even do that? Is that even legal?
Not again. I don't know. I'm not that kind of lawyer.
Ah, okay. Let me think of my suits knowledge.
But you bring up a good point here. Where the hell is Trudy been? She hasn't been in the last two episodes of PD.
I know.
Should we put out a missing persons alert on her? Like, is she okay? Trudy, come home.
She's coming. She's going to be in next week's episode.
Is she?
Yeah, she was in promo pics.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't I just be like, can you get rid of this ticket, is this even... Because his whole thing was like, is this even legal or whatever? Blah, 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 blah.
Trudy could definitely do the finger of death and like not say anything and like wag the finger like Goodwin did and like shit gets done.
Yeah.
She totally could.
Oh, Mouch. Where's Cap?
He was there when Squad pulled up to the house to back up Severide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was there.
Where's my man at?
Yeah, so that's fire. Again, not the strongest episode, but yeah, it's okay. That's okay. We'll get it back. Then we move into PD. PD was my favorite of the three this week.
It was... I'm really... Like, they're doing a good job with the storyline.
It has been so dark this season, but, like, good dark.
Yeah.
Not, like, dark to the point that you're just like, God, I'm so depressed. Why am I still watching this show? But, like... entertaining dark where you're just like, fuck, this is crazy.
Yeah, no, definitely,
this was a good episode, and it was a heartbreaker.
Oh yeah.
I just that kid Noah, I just want to like wrap him up and protect him and just bubble wrap him. It's crazy. Okay, so this episode starts and Noah's still staying with Hank and he's still having nightmares, but he will not talk. Episodes like these, in my opinion, are when Voight is at his best, when you can tell that he cares.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was like, he definitely was like, not like, I wouldn't say like thinking of Noah like his son, but like definitely was like, this can redeem. I don't know. Did you get that vibe where he was
I don't know if
like
I was looking at redemption. I think this episode, gives way to a really interesting talk about grief. But any episode like this where you get to see the human side of Voight and he lets that side of himself come through is gold.
I was saying, like, he still feels guilt about what happened to his son.
Oh, for sure.
And so that's what I mean. Like, that came like in knife. So I feel like he's
I
like, if
don't.
I can save Noah. And I feel like that's
Yeah.
all of Voight's things, though, are like he wants to save these people, like with Anna too, and protect
Yeah.
them.
I think if you think about the Noah case, though, I mean, I think that urge to save people, especially people who remind him of Justin, that is never going to go away. That is a hole of grief that will never heal. And that's why I love that they keep coming back to it. They never forget about Justin. They still bring him up, 10 seasons later, 9, 10 seasons later, because yeah, that is probably a piece of grief that will never fully heal.
And that's like a giant part of Hank's character.
And his death, I only imagine his death still eats at him. I mean,
Oh yeah, there's so much guilt there.
Justin's death is definitely a fictional death I will never get over. It was a heartbreaker. But yeah, Noah still won't talk, but Hank's given him a space. He's just kind of like, okay, do you need anything? It's really sweet how like the last nightmare he has, like when he comes downstairs, Hank already has a glass of water like ready for him.
I know.
These are the moments of Hank where like these are like the really good human moments where Hank really shines.
And I never thought that I'd be like, feel not feel bad for Hank, but like, I don't know. I was like, he's a person.
He's a person. Yeah. I mean, you can still feel some sort of empathy for him. As hard around the edges as he is, you still feel empathy. He and Archer are kind of similar, aren't they? In terms of showing their emotions, they're kind of
I
similar in
see.
that aspect.
Yeah, they're just little, they have a barrier.
Yeah, I think their reasons for not showing them are different. I mean, I think with Archer, obviously he doesn't want to get hurt and he wants to stick with what's safe and what he knows. But with Hank, I mean, I think part of it is that he has to present this like tough exterior and he doesn't want people to know the real him. Interesting. I just had that like realization and that link. But yeah, so meanwhile, while this is going on, Hank and Nina are still obsessing over his case. They're still working it, checking details, everything. As they're working on the case, two more bodies are discovered together in a barrel. So cruel and gross and just, oh. They're discovered in a barrel and their eyes are stapled open just like Noah's was. We find out that these two had been floating in Lake Michigan for months.
For months.
Months and nobody had reported them missing or anything. Oh my gosh, so heartbreaking. So then we meet Detective Petrovic. I guess she's new. I don't know. She's CPD's unofficial profiler, air quotes, unofficial. So she looks at the photos and she just concludes she's like, Noah was not alone. Like she deduces that immediately. She's like, here's the deal. Here's what this guy was thinking. Noah was with somebody that quick. But Noah won't talk. He still won't talk because he can't talk about that night without like basically having a full-blown panic attack. So they're trying to make connections elsewhere. They're still trying to see, where are the links, who might we know. They find the John who bailed the younger sister out, because these two that were found in the barrel, they're the sisters, 18 and 20. One had been popped for prostitution, the other hadn't. But yeah, they find this guy and they're able to basically. They basically see the footage of the abduction of the little sister because this guy recorded it. He didn't record it to like give to the police or anything. He recorded it to cover his own ass. Sometimes I have to forget that people like this exist in the real world just for the sake of my own sanity. Scary. But yeah, it's still not enough because this killer is smart. He wears generic clothes. He covers his face. He makes sure that he basically cannot be tracked. He's smart. Hank finally convinces Noah to talk. And this conversation is just like a, like gets you right in the heart. There you go.
I need to talk to you, don't I?
Yeah. I don't want to give you time. You know, I know you need time, but look, Noah, this offender, he's out there right now.
I don't know how.
I know.
If I think about it, I feel like I'm back there. Like I'm dying. Like he's dying. And then I can't breathe. It hurts.
I get it. You know, sometimes you remind me of my son. And there's so many things with him I don't like thinking about. He died. I don't like thinking about how. It hurts. So sometimes I try not to think about it at all. And I don't think that's right. Maybe we owe it to him to think about things. Since we're still here.
Him saying maybe we owe it to them to talk about it because we're still here. My heart.
I know.
My heart. And again, Hank confiding this to Noah, actually talking about his grief.
Opening up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And like I said, I love that they keep going back to this because this is a part of Hank that will never heal. This will haunt him probably till the day he dies.
Yeah.
And 9 years later, I mean, they say time heals, but like that's never going to fully heal. Never. And I love that we keep talking about it too, because, you know, I don't want to forget Justin. I don't know about anybody else who's been around since the very beginning, but I don't want to forget about him.
Yeah.
He had such a, like, he was on his way to doing such good things and he just died too young and it's just tragic.
That was a really awful storyline.
Oh my God. I just remember sobbing through that whole episode.
Yeah.
And then like Aaron crying and like Aaron couldn't hold it together. It was just, and then Goodwin coming with like that news. Oh, that episode is so sad. Yeah. So he convinces him to talk. They go to this like music school that was kind of like Noah's calm place. Mm-hmm. And this scene I think is really beautifully done because like Noah feels safe enough to let Hank in now. And he explains to him, like, I met this guy, Paul. I loved him. And here's what happened is that, you know, I was attacked and I was forced to dupe Paul into coming. And now Paul's dead because of me. And that moment when he tells Hank, he's like, this is my fault because it's me. Like, I'm wrong as a person. Honey, no. Heartbreaking.
I know.
So, so heartbreaking. Hank finally makes the connection. Well, no, I think Burgess makes the connection finally. Somebody in intelligence makes the connection. We've got a full staff this week, so everybody's present. But Paul and one of the sisters, they basically have a connection to this judge in town. And their cases had come across his desk, but this judge also had both of their phone numbers in his phone. So Burgess pretty quickly is like, holy shit, this guy's a John. Like, oh my gosh. They get the search warrant. They rip this house apart and Adam finds child porn. We're getting real dark. Real, real dark. So in interrogation, Hank's trying to break him. As this is happening, his phone keeps buzzing and it's Noah over and over and over. The first time his phone buzzed, I was like, oh no. Like, answer that phone. Please, got to answer the phone. So after like the third or fourth call, Hank answers. He steps out and Ruzick continues interrogating him. And Noah is just like convinced. He's like, I've been getting texts from Paul. He's alive. I'm going to go meet him. Like, this is it. I don't have to be alone anymore. And Hank's just like, please don't do that. Like, please don't.
So turn around. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin and Haley are both trying to like ping his phone. They're trying to get him down. They track him to the like a woods, like basically the woods. And, you know, Hank's looking, they're doing a grid search. They're all trying to find him. And the next morning, basically CPD like pulls out a barrel and they undo the barrel and everything. And Paul and Noah are in there together. Oh, sweet, sweet Noah.
And Hank's face looking at him.
You could tell he was like really choked up, but he just like couldn't. But this is why Hank doesn't allow himself to show emotions. He doesn't allow himself to get close to people because in his mind, this is how it always ends up.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And the fact that he told Noah, like, you remind me of my son, only for it to end up the same way.
So sad.
Why can't Hank have nice things? That's what tortures me a little bit on PD is like Hank and Haley, especially, like they can never be happy ever.
Yeah. Hank's done some, I mean, I know Noah and intelligence is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank, I don't know.
Well, this episode, I don't think Hank did nothing but act out of care and compassion. He didn't like,
He didn't do anything crazy or, yeah.
Exactly. He didn't torture anybody. He didn't color outside the lines at all. This was just pure good motivation in his heart.
Yeah.
I'm scared this is going to reinforce that notion to him of like, this is why you color outside the lines. This is why, you know, you beat people up in interrogation. This is why you go back to the old void.
Yeah. Do you think, this is kind of switching gears a little bit, but that profile, the new profile of Joe, do you think she is going to stick around?
I don't know. I think I read an episode description that she and Haley are going to clash soon. But I don't know if that was supposed to happen in this episode and got cut. I really don't know. What I've seen of her so far, I like.
I know. I like her too.
Yeah. And that begs another question too, is that, you know, as we're moving into the future with this show, are we going for more of an SVU type setup where everybody's kind of got a different specialty? Because if we add Joe, she's a profiler, right? What if we add Nina to the team as like a Barbara kind of, you know, prosecutor role?
Yeah.
I like Nina.
I like her too.
I like her. Yeah. And I think Nina could vibe with, you know, she vibes with Voight, but I think she can also vibe with the team because she's, you know, she too is trying to find her moral code as a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I like Nina. There are a lot of questions. I like Joe. Did you get any sort of vibe with Joe that she might be on the spectrum?
Yes.
I like her though. She's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very smart. And I love the way she pretty much told Hank, she was like, I can feel you assessing me. Please stop that. Yeah. She wastes no time. She gets right to the point.
Yeah, I really like her.
I like her vibe. Yeah, I do like her. I want to see what happens in this episode when she and Haley clash, and then I can probably determine, like, stay or go.
Need to learn more about her, yeah.
Yeah, but she's very smart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool kind of watching her, like, work and kind of reason through things. She gives off the kind of vibe that she belongs on the FBI's.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they took an FBI character and plucked her and just kind of placed her in One Chicago.
It's cool though that they all like they're starting to bring on people with different specialties. If she does stick around, mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Give
a new spin on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. It would be a really cool spin. I would like that. That would be cool. Cause I mean, PD needs fresh blood.
Big time.
Big time. The other thing that I noticed in this episode, and I realize that this is 7 of 13, but we're not even approaching setting up Haley's exit yet.
No, I think that's coming. Someone laid out the episodes of like who was who.
There's a Haley one coming up, right? Is either next week or the week after?
I think Haley has three episodes coming up.
Damn.
Like, I think they're... Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it really fast. Yeah. I think there's one more Kevin. One, three Haley, and two Voight. Is that... Yeah.
No, I thought we were going back to Torres at one point.
Oh, Torres, yeah.
Because what's her name pops back up.
Maybe Torres. I think it's Torres, one Voight, one Kevin, and three Haley.
They're basically done with Berzick for the year.
Yeah, Marina said that on... Mm-hmm. She, like, commented that on Instagram. She said there was no more Berzick storylines for the year.
I also love the end of that comment when she was like, maybe for season 12. I was like, so you confirm you're staying.
But you're not leaving.
Yeah, so you agree. You think you're really pretty. Yeah, I was a little worried in that episode. I was like, we're not setting up towards her exit at all. Like, I forget during these episodes that she's leaving. So that's why I was concerned. I was like, I hope they're like, she deserves way better than to just like work a regular finale and then just be like, poof, gone.
No, she definitely has an arc coming up.
Okay.
She definitely has a storyline.
Just like, don't torture her, please.
I know.
No more Haley trauma.
I can't.
Those episodes just like hurt me. In every kind of way.
No. I know.
Yes. So that's about all we've got for today. Again, sorry this was kind of an abridged episode. We are back to full strength next week. Lauren, you can join us if you'd like, although I know you have class on Thursdays.
I do.
You do. But you always have an open invite. You know that.
Thanks, babes.
Even though you're on the rival March Madness team.
I know.
We should shake it up one year, though. I think that would be funny if we shook up the teams.
Yeah. I would just lose either way.
Right.
It doesn't matter what team I'm on, so.
Yeah, you and I are definitely the losers of this bet because we don't speak basketball at all.
I think last year I was, too. Yeah. Were we at the bottom last year, too?
You and me? Probably.
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
Well... I just click. I don't know.
Yeah, no, same. But never mind. I mean, we should probably also add that, like, we've already started this off with, like, a technology scandal.
Are you going to out him right now?
Oh, I'm totally going to out him. This is what I mean. It's like, I'll trash talk all day, but I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't know anything about college basketball. But, yeah.
Scandal.
It's fun. We're like having a good time.
I was, like, watching the clock tick down. I was like,
During one of the games last night, I was like, so really, it might've been the Creighton game. Actually. I was like, oh my God. I was like, Oregon's winning. This is so great. Like, I need this to happen. And then I got like really excited as it was like coming to a close. And I was like, oh wait, it's just the first half. My bad. They still have a whole other half of basketball to play. Showing you how much I know. So yes, no, we're having fun. Just gets competitive sometimes.
Do they play games on Sunday?
Oh yeah. There are games happening right now.
Let me look. I'm first in. Oh, that's bad. I'm first in my other bracket. Let's see.
You have another bracket?
Yeah, it's called Your Mom's a Bracket.
It's mature.
It's with school people. Okay, wait. Let me see. Yeah, I'm sec. Bryna's way ahead. Bryna's two games ahead of me. And Bryna has 30. Wait, does it count? It's points that matters, right?
Right.
Okay, wait, Bryna has 191 points. I have 161 and you have 92.
I have like 12 points.
And then Jimmy is unclear.
We don't know how many points Jimmy has because of the technology scandal.
Yeah. Are you ordering a basketball?
Oh, fuck. No, I'm going to find a friend that has one.
God, get your head in the game. I know Bryn is ahead. I don't know.
Yeah. Bryn is like so pumped if this is our punishment. She's like, I get the vibe Bryn learned this dance already as a child and just has to like refresh her memory.
They would play like all the time. They taught you how to do it. Like they would play like the dancing version. They had a sing along version and a dancing version. And then in the dancing version during commercial breaks, they would be like, okay. And they teach you the dance. And then the next scene would be the dance. So you get to do it with them. So good.
I'm scared.
You need to watch those movies too first.
Well, my other punishment was to watch all three movies, which I'm fine with. Can we do that at ATX?
Yeah, I'm down.
Like if we have time. I don't know if we're gonna have time.
Yeah, it'll be fun. H2O and High School Musical.
That's the way I'm about to, like,
that's
go
me as a person
it.
Is H2O in High School Musical. That's just me.
I'm about to go, like, track that down and, like, find some sort
all
of
the episodes of H2O are on Netflix, or on, I'm sorry, not Netflix, on YouTube.
My gosh.
And I think they're on Netflix. Oh, let me look. I think they're on Netflix, but they're definitely on YouTube because that's how I watched them originally.
Oh man, fun times.
And they also have and they also have the best theme song. Oh yeah, they have H2O on Netflix.
Period. Oh my gosh, how many seasons were there?
I think it's just three. They only have the first season on here. Oh wait, no. Yeah,
but Luke comes in season three.
Yeah, he's in the last season because the girl that played Claire, she left the show and they got a new girl. And then the new girl, he's her love interest.
Noted.
But when we were at ATX last year and we were seeing the Everyone is Doing Great panel, and I was like, that girl was on H2O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who'd she play?
On
H2O.
Ricky. Ricky and Zane were like the OG enemies to lovers couple. Does anyone out here speak H2O?
Yeah, if you do, hit us up because you, me and Brian are going to have to do an episode over the hiatus.
So good. So good.
So funny. So as always, everybody, you guys know where to find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Tumblr, meet us at Molly's everywhere. Email us anytime. Seriously. It's a crazy world out there right now. Things are kind of dark and stormy and weird. So email us anytime. Seriously, our inbox is a safe space. We talk about other things other than One Chicago, if you can believe that. Lauren and I talk about other things beside One Chicago.
For hours.
For hours.
Gina takes me to work with her.
I do.
I call her and I just sit while I do my homework as she does her work.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, so follow us individually on Twitter, as you know. I am at Gina Watches TV. Bryna is at BrynaK13. Lauren?
I'm at Meetus at Molly's.
Practically.
My Twitter is like, she's there. I'm just more of like lurking now.
Yeah. The internet can be an interesting place sometimes.
True. I'm more on everything but the kitchen sink. If you really
follow her there,
you want to get technical.
Yeah. Everything but the kitchen sink has merch now, by the way.
I know.
Go buy it, wear it.
Wait till this first batch drops.
But make it clear to Jimmy that you're still rooting for Meetus at Molly's in the March Madness bet. No, I'm just kidding. Root for her if you want. I'm terrified. Like, just can you imagine my neighbors, like, looking out the window while Charlie is, like, filming me in the middle of my street?
I want your punishment. That's so much fun.
The world does not need that.
It's fun.
Oh, God.
And I only cut 18 seconds for you. I was very nice.
You were nice. But it still involves some, like, pretty intense basketball choreography, does it not?
And singing, yeah. You go, there's, like, one we have to, like, switch up your legs.
I have not dribbled a basketball probably since like the sixth grade.
It's fine. You got it. You'll be good. I'm scared.
Anyway, we still have a chance though. So
Oh yeah. We're losing. So
yeah. So cool. All right. That's all we got for this week. No, not for this week. Actually, you'll hear us again on Friday. You'll hear me and Brian on Friday. So everybody have a great week. I hope your brackets are not in shambles like ours are. We'll see you guys on Friday. Bye.
Goodbye.